a group of friends went deer hunting. And they were separating into pairs and went off for the day. Late that evening, one hunter came back alone, staggering under the weight of a 10-point buck. The other hunters asked, "Where's Harry?" "Oh, he fainted a couple miles back on the trail," the hunter said. "And you left him lying there all alone and carried back the deer?" Harry's partner said, "It was really a tough decision, but I figured no one would steal Harry." That was a risk. Now I know there's hunters in the group. You know, this story is a cousin to the old exclamation, "If I told you once, I've told you a million times not to exaggerate." A hyperbole is the use of an exaggerated language to get your point across. And when we consider today's gospel that outrageously suggests that some terrible and gruesome sounding things like cutting off your hand or foot, or even plucking out your eye, if they have caused you the sin, because it would put your ability to go to heaven at risk. But we recognize that Jesus is using this hyperbole here, using this severely exaggerated language to make a point. How do we know he's trying to make a point? Think of it this way. How many people do you know that read the Bible and take it literally with a great desire to go to heaven that are walking around with one eye, one foot, or one hand? Obviously, they're making some adjustments when it comes to this gospel story. You know, when Billy Graham's crusade was traveling around the United States, he always gave the audience a final challenge. He would say, "Decide. Cut away anything that prevents you from a radical decision for Jesus Christ. Decide for Christ." Now, to understand, help us understand what it means to decide for Christ, let's use another picture. And this picture is called the light of the world. And it hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And it depicts Jesus standing at a door, knocking. And so we have to kind of take into the picture what is happening and what is around the door. See, the door has vines kind of growing over it, as if it hadn't been opened in a very long time. And another thing about this door that's different is that there is no doorknob or handle on the outside, which basically means the only way Jesus is going to gain entry is if somebody on the other side of the door would open it to him. We must decide to open the door to let Jesus in once and for all. Yet not just one door, but three. There's three doors: the door of the past, the door of the present, and the door of the future. To open the door of the past is to realize that what is done is done. That is, that we, whatever we've done, hurtful things, the heartbreaking things, the unjust things, they're done. And we can't undo them. The only way to deal with these sins of the past that haunt us is to open the door to Jesus, to open the door to forgiveness. Opening this door leads us to the graces of the sacrament of reconciliation. Secondly, we must decide to open the door to the present. And really, this opening of the door to the present is really taking a look inside. Who am I for real? Who am I that God created in his image and likeness? What is going on in my life? What are the things that I've let come into my life that have really blocked my ability to really commune with God? What is it in my life that needs to be cut off or plucked out so that we might be fully aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and actions in our life? It reminds me of a story about a missionary in China. He and his family, wife and two children, were under house arrest. They'd been living under house arrest somewhat comfortably for many years. And then one day the soldier showed up at the door and basically said, "You may go back to the United States." But they could only take 200 pounds of stuff. Well, they've collected a lot of stuff in the years that they were under house arrest. And so they pulled out the scale and they started weighing their stuff, figuring out what can we take. And that's when the conflict started. Because then it was, oh, we've got to take this vase. We've got to take the typewriter. It's almost brand new. We definitely got to take the books that I've collected here. And the list went on and on about the stuff that they desired to take with them. Well, they finally got it down to the dot. 200 pounds, we're ready to go. And so when the soldier showed up at the door and asked, "Are you ready to go?" They responded, "Yes." "Did you weigh everything?" "Yes, we did." "Did you weigh the children?" "What? No, we didn't weigh the children." So the soldier said, "Weigh the children." It was at that point they realized what most mattered in their lives. And the vase, the typewriter, and all the books went off to the side because the life together, their relationship, was the most important thing. What are the things that we keep trying to put on our scales? The things that might separate us or distract us from right relationships with our family, right relationships with our community, right relationships with our God. Cut it off. Pluck it out. The final door to open. The final door is the door to the future. And this simply means, are you willing to give yourselves and decide for Christ, to give yourselves completely and totally to Him who is our life? This is the Christ that stands at the door and says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Decide what needs to be cut off, what needs to be plucked out of our lives. The doorknob is on our side of the door, on our side of all three of those doors. We have to decide for Christ to truly become free. Open the door to the past because there is forgiveness. Open the door to the present, acknowledging all those unnecessary things in our life that distract us and pull us away from a loving relationship with our God, because there is a promise. Open the door to the future, handing our lives over completely to Christ, because there is renewal. For on the other side of that door stands the most unconditional lover we'll ever meet, who calls, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in?" Now, this gospel, in its own very violent way, demands a decision.